Case number 22-3807, Yizhang Lin versus Merrick Garland. Oral argument 15 minutes per side. Mr. Zhang for the petitioner.
Yes, Your Honor.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to begin to say that IJ found the respondent petitioner was a credible witness. So he gave his account based on his religion, also political opinion, and the court found his to be credible. I like to say, secondly, I want to say that IJ denied his claim because first, for the religion, the judge said he denied because the detention was very brief, only 3 days, and afterwards, he still remain in China for 26 days. Based on that, the judge found the persecution the petitioner suffered doesn't rise to the level of persecution. My argument would be, yes, he according to his testimony, he was detained only 3 days, but the special facts I want to bring the court attention was he escaped while he was detained by bribing the guard. If he did not escape from detention, he might have detained longer than 3 days, who knows how long, maybe a month or 2 months, we don't know. But that fact the judge did not address. So I would like to bring that to court attention. So again, another point is he was remaining in China, but the authority was looking for him after he escaped from detention. So which means the government, the Chinese authority was interested in finding him. If they caught him, he may suffer more persecution by the authorities. So therefore, I would argue the judge overlooked the fact that he escaped in the middle and overlooked the fact the government was looking for him in China. So therefore, I think his persecution is that case different from other case the judge cited, Zhu versus Holder. So therefore, his case should be treated differently from the other case of this circuit, Zhu versus Holder.
Mr. Zhang, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
When you say that makes it different from Zhu versus Holder, mm-hmm. isn't it also different in that because there was an escape, isn't that an explanation as to why the authorities would have been looking for him?
So, Your Honor, based on the records, they only said that the government authority went to his home looking for him several times. So we did not have more other information, but we know that's a fact. They were looking for him. He was not legally was released by the authority, but he escaped. His release was...
Right. Isn't it fair to say he was a fugitive? He was arrested pursuant to application of a law that is in China that he was participating in an underground or unregistered, I should say, religious service, right?
Yes.
And once he was arrested and detained for 3 days, after those 3 days, he escaped and was essentially a fugitive.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
But Your Honor, the fugitive in a sense because he was practicing religion, he did not commit any crime. Not a fugitive as a criminal escape from punishment, but he just practiced religion. So in that sense, the Chinese government is a persecutor, trying to arrest him, to get him put in detention again.
So is it your position that the enforcement of the Chinese law that requires churches to be registered, that when they actually enforce that law, that in and of itself is persecution? Is that what you're essentially arguing?
Yes, Your Honor. I would argue, so for people like the petitioner, they just want to gather. And he testified in the court proceeding, he said he did not want to go to the government sanctioned church because the government sanctioned church lost restrictions. They are not, in their eyes, a true Christian church. So therefore, they want to go to their own church to practice their religion. So the Chinese government, I'm sorry.
No, that, I wanted to follow up with you on the 2021 Department of State International Religious Freedom Report on China. Can you tell me how we may consider that at this level when it was not in the administrative record?
Yuan, the case was done in 2019, so we only include as an available country report. So we cannot, because this would be argued based on the records, was completed in 2019.
And what specific evidence would you point us to that your client had a well-founded fear of future persecution based on his religion or his opposition? What is in this record that you think is definitively in your client's favor to make that proof requirement? It's a pretty high bar to pass.
Yes, Your Honor. So the immigration judge cited the 2019 country report. In that report, the judge cited there, based on that report, there are more than 7 million Christians in China. There are lots more churches in China. But also, the report says there are some groups, lots of groups, like the petitioner says, there are many groups they did not register with the government, and they did not want to arrest and monitor by the government. So the petitioners, one of those groups, they called underground church or family gathering. They like to their setting. They don't like the government sanctioned church because they don't want to be controlled.
So then is your position that any religious faith at all or claimed religious faith at all that is not part of the millions of recognized Christian churches in China fall within this ability to say that they have a fear of future persecution because they have not been registered?
Your Honor, I can say this. There are more than 7 million registered church members, but there are probably more than 7 million. I don't know. They did not give the number because they cannot count the number. There are probably more people went to the underground church without registration. There's no number available to the state government. They cannot say there are many groups anywhere in China, they go to underground church or family gathering. There are no number, doesn't mean there are not many. There are China is huge, there's a huge population, maybe more than 7 million, maybe more than, I don't know how many number, I cannot give a number, but I know based on the petition, there are lots of these kind of groups, people, they go to their church, they organize it on their own, and the secret.
But my question is, do you believe that there is, that the evidence of fear of future persecution standard is made by the fact that your client and all of those other individuals that are unregistered, that is an automatic indication that they can satisfy the fear of future persecution claim? You see what I'm trying to find the line. How do we divide and what are you arguing for? It sounds, you know, when you're talking about millions of others unregistered, that sounds very much to me like the claim that satisfies the fear of future persecution. And that's a huge open door. I'm struggling with how we would rule and keep that information applicable in every case.
Okay, Your Honor. So first of all, the petitioner in this case, he described how he attended underground church. The mm-hmm. Another case also decided by this court is Zhu versus Holder. In the same situation,
yes.
The similar facts, that person, Zhu, also went to the underground church. So there are how many, but those cases demonstrate there are many people went to underground church. They like the underground church setting. They were somehow they don't like the government church because they give a lot of reasons. They limited restriction, for example, they testified that the government sanctioned church do not allow children to be in the church. They do not allow those people to distribute flyers. They do not allow those people to spread gossips. But in the underground church, they can do whatever they want as a believers. So they do. They feel that's a real church, real religion. The practice.
So just to follow up finally, then, so Zhu is exactly your case. And the only difference is that your client escaped because Zhu was detained at a meeting, interrogated, beaten with a baton, kicked, forced to kneel for 30 minutes on the ground, and in police custody for a month. It sounds like you're claiming all those things except for the month-long custody. Is that the distinction?
One more thing, Your Honor. Once he escaped, he was wanted by the local authorities. They went to his house looking for him. So fortunately, he was not caught. If he was caught, we don't know what could happen to him. So he found a way to flee to China only 26 days. If he stayed in China longer, we don't know what could happen to him. So my argument, I do not agree with the judge because the judge said there is low, the risk of being caught is very low. I do not disagree. I do not agree with that one because who knows how big the risk. Once he was caught again, because he escaped, he probably punished more severely based on his action free from the detention.
All right, Mr. Zhang, it's your burden on appeal to establish that the BIA's findings of fact were not supported by substantial evidence. What is your best case that the BIA's findings are not supported by substantial evidence? What's your best authority?
Your Honor, the BIA basically adopted the judge's decision. They did not do any separate analysis regarding why.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of unpublished cases that are cited both sides, and they're not precedentially binding on us, and I don't have to follow them. But what is your best authority you have for your position?
Your Honor, at this moment, I don't. I think the circuit is very serious about the standard, but based on I can only based on the fact analysis, I would just argue based on this case scenario, the petitioner suffered past persecution because the 3-day detention also is being wanted by the government. And also, Your Honor, I want to argue one more thing. For the fear of persecution, the judge and BIA mentioned the petitioner left China using his own passport and there was no issue when he left the country. They use that fact as a to support the judge's finding. I would just say that argument was not supported by any law or any authority because a person being used their own passport to leave the country is because the person was not prosecuted as a criminal. He was not wanted a criminal fugitive. Therefore, so he can use his passport to leave China. That fact alone doesn't indicate he was not wanted by the government.
All right. Mr. Zhang, thank you. You'll have your 3 minutes rebuttal. Any further questions at this time, Judge Scranch, Judge Davis? All right. Let's hear from the Attorney General, Mr. Stanton.
All right. May it please the court. I think we're all in agreement here that what happened to petitioner was terrible. So please do not interpret anything I'm saying in the briefs or in argument as any way condoning what China has done here. I mean, unfortunately, that this court has said in both published and unpublished decisions that treatment that we would consider unjust or even unconstitutional does not necessarily trigger immigration protection. So, I mean, I'll address what both Judge Davis and Judge Stranz were saying. I mean, it would be wonderful if all countries allowed religious freedom worship the way we do, but interference with religious freedom is not per se persecution. But a matter of statutory interpretation, the INA only recognizes one form of mistreatment as per se persecution. Petitioner actually quotes it on page 12 of his brief. It's 8 USC 101 A42B that identifies if you're a victim of a forced abortion or sterilization, a victim, then that is automatic persecution. That's the only instance where mistreatment is considered per se persecution. Otherwise, you have to actually show that what you experience fits within the ordinary definition of persecution as defined by both courts and the board. as well. That section is in the side also recognizes that if you resist forced sterilization, if you're one of the protesters, as it was Mr. Zhang here, then you get an automatic nexus to political opinion, but you still have to show that you were persecuted because of it. As far as persecution is concerned, I mean, minor beatings, short detentions, just do not, is not sufficient. I mean, and that's, at the end of the day, that again, it's as terrible as it was that he was not permitted to worship freely. That is simply not enough for to establish persecution. This court is, Judge Griffin?
Yes, what's your best case? You cite several unpublished opinions from our court that are not precedentially binding. I mean, you cite them for persuasive value. But as to the published opinions, I don't see a published opinion on point in support of your position. If you have one, I'd like to see it.
Are you talking about published decisions from this court or published?
Yes. No, this court.
This court, okay. This court has not directly addressed this scenario in a published decision, although quite a few unpublished decisions.
Okay. Since there is no binding precedent,
yeah. But
tell me why this situation does not arise to past persecution on account of religion. First of all, the petitioner has been found credible, and unlike a lot of other cases, his credibility is accepted. So the facts that he has recited are deemed true. And he says that he was attending an unauthorized underground Christian church. He was arrested by the local authorities. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was imprisoned for 3 days. He suffered injuries from the beating. And then he only got out of the imprisonment because he bribed the guard. He thereafter hid for 26 days and then went to Hong Kong and eventually went to the United States. 5 years, or no, 2002, his parents said the local authorities were still looking for him everywhere. And 5 years later, 2017, his father warned him, do not come back for your mother's funeral because the police are still looking for him. So why doesn't that amount to past persecution based on the count of religion? Well, why should we not hold that to be past persecution based upon religion?
Yes, well, if you want a public decision from this court, it's pretty close. I mean, it's a different context, but the Pilica versus Ashcroft decision was on page 21 of our brief, 388 F3rd, 941, 2004 case. It's pretty much this situation, but in the political opinion context.
In that case, the petitioner was found not to be credible. Isn't that the case? And therefore, his account was discounted and not believed. That is much different than this case, in which his account is believed because he's credible, right?
But the agency also, even assuming he was credible, his mistreatment still would not constitute persecution. So and this court upheld that distinction, that the minor beatings, even though it was clearly interfering.
How major does the beating have to be when he's bleeding from his nose, his face, he is bruised? Are you saying that he have to break bones to establish persecution, or what are you saying, that they have to just about kill him, or how severe are you saying?
It would probably have to require medical treatment. That would be pretty much a minimum. I mean, this court has upheld findings of no past persecution, beatings, and other contests numerous times. So have other courts. When the victim did not have to go see a doctor for his injuries.
Okay, why should we do that? Why should we just invent a standard that there is no persecution unless you have to go to the hospital? That's not in the statute. Why should we make that up?
Well, because case law makes pretty clear, like minor beatings. I mean, a bloody nose. I mean, as much as it hurt. I mean, it, you'll be fine after a couple of days. I mean, he doesn't say how long. No broken bones. I mean, I don't think he was bleeding. Okay, sure, but Your Honor, I mean, this is the point that has been adopted by courts everywhere, including this court, that minor beatings are not sufficient. And there's nothing in the record here that indicates what his mistreatment was any more than a minor beating. So, I mean, any beatings, just, I mean, a slap in the face. I'm sorry. It's just not enough. I mean,
it's more than a slap in the face here, obviously, but,
sure. I mean,
okay. You say that should be the standard, but you can't cite any authority that it is from our circuit anyway.
Well, in the German homeschooling case, the Rami K versus Holder case, the German homeschooling case, which is cited in a brief, the court didn't make clear that like the standard for persecution is very high. That like that any form of mistreatment just isn't sufficient. It's a very, very high standard to meet. So that would I would assume like would be the authority that like a fairly minor, a relatively minor building, minor beating is insufficient. So I mean, is it in the INA? No, I don't think so. But but the board and this court and other courts have been pretty consistent that a minor beating by itself, I mean, a minor beating coupled with other stuff, psychological harm or death threats, sure, perhaps, but that's not what happened here. We're talking just beatings, just fisticuffs. I mean, this standard just is not there. I mean, he certainly cites petitioner certainly cites no authority in his brief suggesting that his physical mistreatment comes anywhere close to the standard. I didn't see any such thing. And with respect to the authorities, I mean, yes, Judge Davis says the Chinese authority came looking for him. The record is silent as to why they're actually inquiring as to his whereabouts. And as you said, Judge Griffin, it's his burden to show the record compels reversal. So, I mean, it could have been they were looking for him because he was a fugitive. It could have been because they wanted to ensure that, like, his illegitimate son was receiving child support payments. I mean, we just don't know whether they were, like, looking up on him because he was engaging in unauthorized religious practices. It's speculation on his part. Maybe he's right. Maybe it was for some other reason, but speculation is not sufficient to compel reversal here. So
your argument would be that it's not the religious issue that is at core. It's the violation of the family planning laws.
Well, the family planning laws is something completely different. Yes, and so I mean, Congress has mentioned that, like, the family planning laws. If you were the actual victim, if you were the mother, and you had a forced abortion, or you were forcibly sterilized, I suppose the father could be forcibly sterilized as well. But that's not what happened here. Then that's automatic persecution. Yes. So that gets
vital. But what you mean by parallel is that there has been a selection as to what rises to that level, and it's statutory or regulatory, and that it has to do with forced abortion or sterilization. But all of the other enforcement actions of the one-child policy, for example, which our country and women everywhere would find incredibly inappropriate, let's say, are under our law do not rise to the level of persecution. I mean, are you making a parallel here that there is no statutory particular protection so that general enforcement of the one-child policy is not tantamount to proving persecution?
Well, general enforcement is beyond the actual sterilization. Is that your question?
I'm looking to the analogy, whether there is an analogy with the way our circuit and other circuits have enforced or found persecution based on the one-child policy versus this one, which is about evidently an age-related and unmarried issue about a child. Is that correct?
So, yeah. The analogy of the way our circuits enforced one child versus the one where every individual is unmarried. So, I mean, the analogy between. I apologize. I'm still not understanding your question. I'm sorry.
Well,
I apologize.
It's fair. I think we're all struggling with what policy is it that is being requested here? What is the bright line or generally bright line rule that courts would be enforcing in this context if we found that this was persecution? I think we are interested in understanding what it is the request is asked to be. And I'm trying to figure out exactly where your argument lies on how that particular standard functions so that when we articulate what the rule is, we're saying it appropriately.
All right.
So well, what is your argument for?
The argument is that with respect to family planning policy, that if you are not the actual person who was sterilized or aborted, that like your mistreatment has to actually rise to the level of persecution. Now, whether mm-hmm. it's severe beatings, as Judge Griffin and I were just discussing, or it's like prolonged detention, months and all that, if someone puts a gun in your mouth, death threats to that effect, really, really extreme level, that would give rise to persecution. So that's
and so what's your best case
minor beatings, just I cannot recall like what case we sat in our brief offhand, so but mm-hmm. I would go back to the case I just talked about, the Pilica case, that like just getting beaten up and detained, and he wasn't even detained for the violation of family policy law as well. He was just beaten. I mean, if anything, slapped around. He was fine, but apparently there were no serious efforts made to actually enforce the fine as well. So like, I don't think this court has had that. I can't remember if you have or not. I know other courts have made clear that like fine per se is not persecution. There have to be actual efforts to collect, actually confiscate property, like a lien on your land or garnishing your wages. That didn't happen here. He was harassed for about a period of 2 years, and then they apparently gave up on trying to pursue the fine.
How long was Mr. Lin in China after the birth of his child?
About 10 years.
When he was not arrested?
Not arrested. 10 years.
10 years.
The child was born in 2002, and he left China in 2012. So 10 years. Mm-hmm. The authorities talked about the fine for about 2 years, and they gave up after 2004. I mean, he cites, I actually want to get into the issue of judicial notice. So I actually overlooked this. I don't have much time left, but it's a point I think it's pretty important that the case that he cites, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this correctly, Ivazcha, it's a 1996 published opinion cited repeatedly for judicial notice. I missed this in my brief, but a colleague pointed out to me in our moot discussion. The Ivazcha's case relied on an outdated provision of the INA. They relied on former, the court, relied on former 8 USC 1105A4. That was amended in 1996. The current version is 8 USC 1252B4A. And that the revisions make clear that the courts cannot use the federal rules of evidence to take judicial notice. It's limited strictly to the evidentiary record before the immigration judge. This court made that point expressly in an unpublished decision in 2002, Bisher versus INS 51, Federal Appendix 547, made clear that Ivazcha's is just no longer good law with respect to judicial notice. So if a petitioner thinks he's got new evidence post-dating his hearing, he has to go file a motion to reopen or remand with the agency. So the new evidence here is just it's not proper bounds for this court's consideration. That should have been in my brief, but we can't catch everything. I'm sorry. So, well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Any further questions, Judge Scranch, Judge Davis? All right. Thank you for your argument, Mr. Stanton. Mr. Zhang, you have 3 minutes rebuttal.
Thank you, Honor. First, I'd like to talk about the other resistance case. So the judge found the petitioner to be credible for the incident he described, for being kicked, slapped, for trying to hide her girlfriend's whereabouts. And he was kicked, he was slapped. And even though that was many years ago, but the BIA says the last time doesn't matter. Like an abortion case, even abortion occurred 20, 30 years ago, the person still can apply for asylum, similar to the other resistance. So even though it happened about 10 years ago or longer, even though he stayed after the incident occurred, he's still in China. But the other resistance is a level whether the reach to the level, but no authority described how what what's the other reasons? What's the level? What kind of other resistance arrive to a level of persecution? There are no specific law to talk about that one. But based on his resistance, try to protect his unborn child, try being kick-slapped, I think that's pretty serious. Plus, he was fined for the incident. That's number one. Number two, you would like to see the petitioner in this case. He was detained 3 days, then he escaped. The government point was there. The officer was looking for him, but don't know for what reason. But clearly, he testified after he escaped, he bribed the guard, he left. So therefore, the authority looking for him is because his escape, his action to be escaped from the detention. So based on that one, I believe his special case, he was 3 days, even though the harm, the bleeding nose, other things did not require medical treatment. Like you want to correct the point to, there no law says only those beating or mistreatment require medical treatment, that's a persecution. That's not the case. They're just saying some cases may need, some may not, but that's not the standard to judge whether a mistreatment is a right level of persecution. So combine the fact that he was detained, he was beating, and he was in hiding. Eventually, he had to leave this country to avoid persecution. In this case, I believe he met his burden. He was.
Mr. Zhang, say he did require or medical treatment would be beneficial for him. He's a fugitive once he's bribed the guard and he's hiding. In China, I assume it's nationalized medicine. It's state-controlled medicine. So if he went to a doctor or a hospital, I assume it would be a government-controlled hospital or doctor that would find out who he is and where he is. Is that a problem by if we were to set a standard by saying there's only past persecution if the injuries are to the level that hospitalization or medical visits are required? Is that a problem in this case when you have China and you have a Chinese health system?
Yes, Your Honor. In China, so there's the internet, the security monitor everywhere nowadays, we know. So if you go to anywhere, you present your card, ID card, they wouldn't know who treated you. And the doctor fears they treated.
I assume they track their citizens pretty well.
Yes.
So, I mean, he could not seek medical treatment as a fugitive. So
yes, Your Honor. Yeah, exactly. If he did, he probably got the call right away.
Okay. All right. I think you're out of time. Do you have anything to wrap up your argument?
Your Honor, I just asked this court to consider this case separately, case by case analysis to find the petitioner is a refugee as defined by the law, also by the, not by the circuit, so, but this circuit has their own view, but I would this circuit make a new finding regarding the several points we discussed today.
All right. Any further questions, Judge Scranch, Judge Davis?
No, thank you.
Mr. Zhang, thank you for your argument. The case will be submitted.